Resilience and the capacity for change are two of the most important assets for a business person. Family business Melbas have been hit hard this year, like many of us, not only by COVID, but also by the bushfires over summer. In spite of it, though, the chocolate company is going from strength to strength. Managing Director Tom Forrestal joins me for a chat about it now. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. It's been a pretty challenging year, hasn't it, for the business?
Yeah, indeed. Many different crisis meetings needed for all the different things that come along.
So the bushfires, which nearly got to your business, it got very, very, very close, but thanks to the CFS in Woodside, they managed to save the factory.
Yeah, that's right. We have reports back. We evacuated, but we have reports back of nearly 14 trucks and sort of 100 firefighters on rotation as to whether that's true or not. But it still gives you a bit of an idea of how big the inferno out the back of the cheese rice was.
And then COVID-19 and all the restrictions started right as Easter was coming along.
Yeah, one of the favourite words of COVID-19 is the pivot. And we certainly had to pivot online and some good things have come out of that, but that certainly wasn't easy by any means.
Yeah, so you really embrace technology and changed how you do part of your business, right?
Yeah, that's right. We were never able to have an e-parcel account with Australia Post because of volumes, and we've pushed into that. We've been able to onboard a new software which makes the customer journey through website purchasing much better, and really that is the most important part to make it easier and more efficient for customers and more transparent as to where their parcels are and all those sort of things. So,
that's good.
It's been out of bad times, so there can be some good.
Is it difficult to package chocolate to send via post? Because you have to be really careful with it, don't you?
Yeah, it certainly is. Easter's especially bad because of the hollow chocolates. So the bilbies and the Easter eggs and whatnot they sort of rattle around in their packaging and they're hollow and they only need to take a small bump to crack. So, yeah, we certainly do have to do quite a lot of refunds on anything that is broken. But, largely, you know, a bit of bubble wrap and some care and love when being packed can avoid most of it.
Yeah. And has that sort of made up the shortfall of visitors to your store when there were really harsh restrictions?
I think, and I've spoken to a lot of other business leaders about this, during that really heavy lockdown time, it was all about cash flow. Just keep people employed, keep the doors open, and worry about profit another time. So sacrifice certain margins or costs and just get the product to people and push through and pay your bills, which we were able to do.
Oh, great. Have government subsidies been useful for you during this time?
The instant asset write-off has been the most useful. So we've been able to purchase some new machines, which has allowed us to say yes to some fairly big orders, which has been really handy. So diversifying into what we're already in, but just increasing it a bit in terms of wholesale or other higher volume manufacturing.
Managing Director of Chocolate Company Melbas is with me, Tom Forrestal. Tell us about your campaign that went viral with social distancing chocolate tubes. That was pretty clever.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I, for all of through the through Easter period, I'd had 1.5 metre cardboard tubes ordered with the intention of doing some artwork, and I just because of the stress of the time, I didn't get it done. And shortly after Easter, I thought, no, I'll sit down and do this. So I sat down on InDesign and I designed a artwork for a 1.5 metre social distancing chocolate tube. So we've got two types. There's a mixed dozen and a deluxe. Literally, as you can imagine, a 1.5 metre tube. And the regular comment is that, gee, that's a lot more than I thought it was in terms of distance. So, a few of the bigger media outlets grabbed it and we had the news come up and everyone's had a bit of fun with it. And it seems that a lot of South Australians are sending them to their friends in Victoria, whether that be tongue-in-cheek or what it might be. So, yeah, it has been quite a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. Do you always feel like you need to be innovative and think outside the square and, just always be on your feet, on your toes a little bit when it comes to running a business?
Yeah, look, from a product point of view, from being in fast-moving consumer goods, I suppose you would call it, you definitely have to keep your finger on the pulse for what's out there. That means for me, quite literally, which often wouldn't be a hard thing for many people, is I have to buy quite a lot of different chocolate and confectionery and taste it and experience it and see what's new on the market and understand what people are and aren't buying. But that being said, the tried and true recipes and the favourites, they're certainly, you know, they don't need touching, they don't need changing, and we won't do that.
Yeah. Oh, great. I mean, at the end of the day, there are classic things that people just adore, no matter what.
Yeah, we would be, I think we would be burnt at the stake if we got rid of licorice block and traffic lights.
Oh, really? And traffic lights.
Yeah. Very hard product to make, but in terms of wrap, but we've had them out of stock a couple of times, and there's, Neuron knocked the door down telling us that we can't delete them.
So you obviously listen to people, and you listen to close people in your circle as well about how to go forward and innovate and be resilient.
Yeah, I suppose anyone coming out of this that's had a really hard time, if they're not, I would, or hard times in the future, it's, my philosophy is mind the collective intelligence of the group around you, whether that be your staff members or your mentors or friends or family. Just, you know, everyone's good for an opinion, and you certainly don't have to act on everyone's opinion, but more opinions than one are always lead to a better decision in my experience.
Yeah. And the village you're based in is poised to grow if the owner, Chris Roberts, manages to secure the $2.5 million he's looking to invest in the village.
Yeah, it really is pretty cool, the concept and what he and his wife have explained that they want to do with the complex. It really does remind me of what Joanne Graham, my parents, did when I was a boy over there. So I remember a puzzle maker, a wood turner, a glass blower, a blacksmith, all those sort of things. And over time that, there wasn't quite enough tourists here back in the early 90s to sustain all of that. But if, as you say, if the Roberts family can get the funding and turn this into a tourism hub next door, I think everyone benefits. Woodside benefits, Wee Melba's benefits, Woodside Cheese benefits, and I'm sure that more people and more businesses will come locally in the area, so it'll just continue to grow as a hub for tourism in the Adelaide Hills region.
Oh, great. We'll watch this space. Thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.